Upland Bible Church, Pastor Richard J. Olson, 920 Upland Boulevard, Las Vegas, Nevada, 89107. Wednesday class, 11 March 2026, 2 Corinthians.
Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing through the teaching of God's word. And therefore, open the word of God to 2 Corinthians chapter 9. 2 Corinthians chapter 9. The two greatest chapters in all of the word of God that teach the doctrine of grace giving, define it, explain it every way possible, is 2 Corinthians chapters 8 and 9. In preparation to worship our Lord, a few moments of silent prayer, shall we? Father, we thank you, sir, for your infinite and your matchless grace. And we thank you, Heavenly Father, for one more day of freedom in Client Nation, USA. The freedom to assemble in a Bible teaching church such as this one, and the freedom to worship you through the study of your word. And as we do so, we ask that our teacher, God the Holy Spirit, will set apart the absolute truth of Scripture to the nourishment and to the benefit of each one of our souls. We pray these things in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. This is from the Friends of Israel, the executive director, Steve Conover. Not long ago, a copy of Israel My Glory magazine lay quietly in a doctor's office, displayed among the usual pamphlets and magazines. A patient picked it up and was soon intrigued by what he read. He asked if he could take it home, and the doctor said, yes, take it. Then the doctor took the opportunity to share the good news of the grace gospel with him. At the patient's next appointment, the man returned to him with a simple and an urgent statement. I got to believe in Jesus Christ as my Savior. What do I do? You just said it. Place your faith in Christ and His work on the cross, that He paid the penalty for your sins once and for all. And if you do that, He is your Redeemer, your Savior. You have the gift of eternal life. You will live with Him forever in heaven. This is the kind of influence I want believers to have on this generation in the United States of America. Today, the world is full of many competing voices, from those on podcasts and clips and threads to highly influential social media personalities. And while technology can be used for good, unfortunately, it is also used to cultivate confusion and evil. Skepticism toward Israel and the Jewish people is growing within portions of the church all around the world, sometimes fueled by political commentators of all types, rather than careful attention to the Word of God. And of course, this explains, come on in. Come on in. 2 Corinthians chapter 9. This explains what we were studying last night in vision number 7 and Zechariah and the Revelation chapter 17 and 18 and the great prostitute, the ecumenical religious system that will be ruling planet Earth along with the Antichrist in the tribulation period. We're setting up for it right now. And Steve Conover, as he wrote this, said churches in Europe that they used to be able to go, now they don't even want Friends of Israel to come in. Their churches, they're preparing, they're setting themselves up for the one world church, the ecumenical religious system, and what we studied last night is so, so important. And we're not finished with what we got. We just were getting into high gear on that. We're going to pick it up again. When Christians are discipled more by their social media algorithms than by the God-breathed scripture, their theology warps. And when theology warps, so does our understanding of God and the plan of God. And this is why the Friends of Israel gospel ministry exists, to communicate biblical truth about Israel and the Messiah, Jesus Christ. At the heart of God's plan for the ages is a covenant that God made with Abraham. The Abrahamic covenant is an unconditional covenant. It doesn't depend on the Jewish people. It depends on God. It's an unconditional covenant that he made with Abraham that extends to each of his descendants and remains in effect today. Most believers know Abraham, but fewer understand what the Abrahamic covenant actually means. That the Lord's promises do not depend on Israel's faithfulness. It doesn't depend on our faithfulness. It depends on God's faithfulness. It is an unconditional covenant. If we are faithless, He, God, remains faithful. He cannot deny Himself. 2 Timothy 2:13. God's unconditional covenants are not fragile agreements held together by human strength. They are anchored in the very character of God. And that matters because we are all weak and broken vessels. Scripture says, but we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellence of the power may be of God and not of us. 2 Corinthians 4:7. The Lord has always advanced His purposes through people who are imperfect, and sometimes painfully so. Yet nothing can derail His plan or outweigh His faithfulness or cancel His promises. Israel is not different because of ethnicity, politics, or cultural achievement. Israel is different because God chose to make covenant promises tied to a specific people and a specific land and a detailed future and ultimately the Savior. If we blur or replace those covenants, we distort the storyline of redemption. We start to read the Bible as if God's faithfulness is conditional and His word is negotiable. Over time, the theological drift produces pride and suspicion that mutates into anti-Semitism, using Christian language while resisting the God of Scripture and the Jewish Messiah, Jesus Christ. The gospel came through the Jewish people. Jesus reminded a Samaritan woman in John 4:22, salvation is of the Jews. If you want to understand Scripture's fulfillment and God's plan for the ages, you must understand Israel. This is not a niche interest. It is foundational. And sad to say, it's being neglected all over the earth. In many places, we are seeing the cost of that neglect. Our workers in the United Kingdom have described how difficult it has become to find churches that are supportive. Churches. This is all a part of the degeneracy of Christianity and Christendom. And it's just degenerating into the ecumenical religious system and the one world church of the tribulation period. It has become almost impossible in the United Kingdom to find supportive churches, in part because replacement theology remains widespread. What is replacement theology? Says God no longer has a plan for Israel. Israel's out. That's replacement theology. And that is all over the world. They have even lost church connections since October 7th, 2023, as opinions have hardened against Israel in Christendom today. When believers are ignorant of God's covenant promises, they become vulnerable to fear, to cultural pressure, and persuasive voices that are not grounded in the God-breathed Scriptures. So you see what we studied last night. So important. We will be picking that up and going with it again next week. But now you see the reality of it right now developing throughout the world. 2 Corinthians in chapters 8 and 9, two of the greatest chapters in all of the Word of God that teaches the doctrine of grace giving. It explains grace giving, defines it, explains it in a way that's better than anywhere else in the Word of God. And that's in 2 Corinthians chapter 8 and 2 Corinthians chapter 9. We have plodded our way through chapter 8. We're in chapter 9. In fact, we're at 2 Corinthians 9, verses 6 to 15, where we have the reward of generosity and grace giving. In the grace of God, Christians are blessed in three ways for their generosity and grace giving. First of all, the ones who give in grace will be blessed. That's 2 Corinthians 9, verses 6 through 10. And we've almost exegeted all of that. Not quite. We've got still part of verse 10 to go. Secondly, the receiver's needs are met, 2 Corinthians 9, 11 and 12. And third, God, the source of all blessing, is praised. That's 2 Corinthians 9, verses 13 to 15. Well, we are in the first part. The ones who give in grace will be blessed by the grace of God. 2 Corinthians 9, 6 through 10. We've exegeted verses 6 through 9 and part of verse 10. So let's take a look at the corrected translation of verses 6 through 9. 2 Corinthians 9, 6 through 9. Start at verse 6. Remember this principle of giving. The one who sows sparingly, that is, grudgingly, he shall also reap sparingly. But the one who sows generously will also reap generously. Verse 7. Each one, just as he is determined in his heart, that is, who has been motivated in his heart, so give, not reluctantly or grudgingly, nor under compulsion, under pressure. For God loves a grace-oriented giver. Verse 8, and God is able, he's strong enough as the omnipotent God, to make all grace superabound to you, that always, having all sufficiency in everything, you may superabound with reference to every good work. And that good work in our context is the spiritual sacrifice of grace giving. Verse 9. Just as it stands written, a quotation from Psalm 112, verse 9. He, God, has given generously. He gave to the poor. His righteousness, his grace virtue abides forever. In these verses, verses 6 through 9, God gives generously to the believer on the basis of who and what he is. At that moment of salvation, at that moment of faith in Jesus Christ, when you came to the cross and placed your faith, faith alone in Christ alone, apart from any and all works, at that very moment, the justice of God imputed to each one of you the righteousness of God. And he declared you to be justified. Justification by faith. Justification means God declares you to be righteous by faith in Jesus Christ. That establishes a grace pipeline with the justice of God on one end, the righteousness of God on the other end. And instantly, down that grace pipeline, God sent down salvation blessings. 40 salvation blessings instantly at that moment of faith in Christ. And then every day, from that day right up to today, God has been sending down that grace pipeline to all of you. Logistical grace, blessing, and support. Temporal security, which is designed to keep you alive in the middle of the devil's world. Why? so you can fulfill God's plan, will, and purpose for your life, which is to grow up in the grace and knowledge of Christ, attain spiritual maturity, fulfill the ultimate objective, and have virtue, love brought to completion in your heart. And when you accomplish that, then God sends down that grace pipeline, greater grace blessings. Greater grace blessings in time, and greater grace blessings that will be given to you at the judgment seat of Christ. Crowns and rewards that will glorify God forever and ever and ever. So at that moment of faith in Jesus Christ, God imputed His righteousness to you, declared you to be righteous, justified, justification by faith alone, in Christ alone, apart from any and all works. And that established that grace pipeline, where God sends down that grace pipeline, blessings. The plan of God for you is that He wants to bless you and bless you and bless you and bless you and bless you. That's God's plan. His plan is a plan of blessing you as royal family of God. So at salvation, faith in Jesus Christ, God imputes His righteousness to the believer, establishing this fantastic grace pipeline. With the justice of God on one hand end and the imputed righteousness of God in the believer on the other end. And first came down those fantastic 40 salvation blessings. And then every day from that day right up to today, God graciously provides for every believer logistical grace, blessing, and support. All believers. Every believer, baby believers, adolescent believers, mature believers, carnal believers, reversionistic believers, winner believers, loser believers, doesn't make any difference. God gives these blessings to all believers. God graciously provides to every believer the logistical grace blessings to keep you alive in the middle of the devil's world that you might fulfill his plan for your life. Then, for the winner believers, those who grow up to maturity, those who attain grace righteousness, God provides graciously greater grace blessings and provisions so that the grace righteous believer, the spiritually mature believer, has the financial resources to give graciously and generously in grace giving. The phrase, His righteousness abides forever in verse 9, anticipates what we have in verse 10, where dikaiosune, righteousness, is used of the believer priest's spiritual sacrifice of grace giving. The grace giving of the believer is a manifestation of God's grace provision from His righteousness. And here's the principle. God gives to you in grace. God provides money for you in grace. And the believer gives money in grace to others. So God provides money in grace to you, and the believer gives money in grace to others. God's logistical grace, blessing, and support of all believers, winners and losers alike, is grace addition for your survival in the middle of the devil's world. God's logistical grace provision is addition of money for the necessities of life, food and shelter and clothing and transportation. God provides that for all believers. God's greater grace provision to the spiritually mature believer is multiplication. Multiplication of money for grace giving. The believer's grace giving results in increasing the harvest of your grace righteousness, and that's coming up in verse 10. The increase of the harvest of your grace righteousness enlarges the believer's capacity for life, capacity for love, and capacity for happiness. Verse 10 puts the spotlight on grace giving and capacity for life. Verse 10, first part of verse 10 says, Now He, God, who gives graciously and generously the seed. And the seed is money to the sower, and the sower is the believer. God gives you money, and that which you give in grace is then multiplied. That portion of money that you give in grace is multiplied like a seed that's been sown. You sow seed, and it's multiplied into a great harvest. The more money the believer sows, gives in grace, the more money God intensively supplies in grace. And the word there was a very special word, epikoregeo. Epikoregeo. Looks like that in the Greek. That's E-P-I-C-H-O-R, long E-G-E, long O. Epikoregeo. Now, what makes this intensified? Well, koregeo means to supply, but when you put a preposition and prefix that to the word koregeo, that is great intensification. That's where the intensification is, right here. Epikoregeo. Not koregeo, but epikoregeo. So the more money the believer sows, gives in grace, the more money God epikoregeo, intensively supplies in grace. God multiplies the seed being sown, grace-giving. And therefore, grace-giving results in the multiplication of grace. And this principle is not only taught in 2 Corinthians 8 and 2 Corinthians 9, but Proverbs 11, 24 and 25. Proverbs 11, 24 and 25 says, "One man gives generously, yet he gains even more. Another man withholds unduly, but he comes to poverty. A generous man will prosper, but the one and he who refreshes others will himself be refreshed." The result of grace giving. And then we have in verse 10, "and provides graciously bread for the purpose of eating." And that's logistical grace, blessing, and support. Logistical grace is God's gracious provision of temporal security to keep us alive in the middle of the devil's world. Logistical grace provides that provision is addition. God provides the addition of money for the necessities of life, for food and shelter and clothing and transportation. So in 2 Corinthians 9:10, in that phrase, "and provides graciously bread for the purpose of eating," the spotlight is on the addition of money for food. "Now he, God, who gives graciously and generously the seed," which is money, "to the sower," which is the believer, "and provides graciously bread," logistical grace, "for the purpose of eating." Now, the next phrase in verse 10 puts the spotlight on multiplication. The multiplication of grace provision through grace giving. We have the phrase, "and at the same time, he," God the Father, "multiplies your seed," money, "for grace giving." And the key word in that phrase is the Greek verb plethuno. Plethuno. Looks like that in the Greek. That's P-L long E-T-H-U-N long O. Plethuno. And plethuno means to increase or to multiply. Plethuno is the Greek verb for multiplication. The subject of the verb is God the Father. And the object of the verb is sporos, which is literally seed. Literally it's seed, figuratively it's money. God the Father will multiply your store of seed, money for grace giving. The personal pronoun su, you, refers to believers who have grown up in the grace and knowledge of Christ, maximum grace orientation and doctrinal orientation, attain spiritual maturity. The spiritually mature believer, the believer who has attained grace righteousness, is the recipient of this multiplication of seed or money for grace giving. God, in His matchless grace, provides both the monetary capital for grace giving and makes it a part of the harvest of your grace righteousness, spiritual maturity. Your grace righteousness, spiritual maturity, motivates you to give in grace, grace giving. So now verse 10, as far as we have exegeted. Now He, God, who gives graciously and generously the seed, the money, to the sower, the believer, and graciously provides bread, logistical grace, for the purpose of eating, that is the addition of money for the necessities of life, and at the same time, He, God the Father, multiplies your seed, money for grace giving. Now the rest of verse 10. And we always start with the King James. It says, and increase the fruits of your righteousness. And increase the fruits of your righteousness. This is the conjunction chi plus the future active indicative of the verb auxano, plus the accusative plural of genema with the definite article, plus the genitive singular of dikaiosune once again with the definite article, and the genitive plural of the personal pronoun su. All right, chi. And the chi, this is not just a connective chi. I don't put it up. If it's a connective chi, I don't put it up here. That just means and. This is the ascensive use of chi. Even, or and even. So now the ascensive use of chi, and even, and then the verb auxano. Looks like this in the Greek. That's A-U-K-S-A-N long O. Auxano. And let's get a couple of things on auxano. First of all, auxano means to grow or to cause to grow or to increase or to enlarge. To grow, to cause to grow, to increase, to enlarge. Point two, the object of auxano is the, when I say object, that's the direct object of the verb, is the accusative plural of genema. Looks like that in the Greek, G-E-N, long E-M-A, genema. So the direct object of the verb auxano is the accusative plural of genema, and genema means product, fruit, yield, and the best translation, harvest. Harvest. Product, fruit, yield, harvest. And then we have our friend dikaiosune, which is righteousness. And the personal pronoun su in the plural, your righteousness. So, point three, your righteousness is your spiritual maturity. your grace righteousness, your spiritual maturity, your grace virtue. So your righteousness is your grace righteousness, your spiritual maturity, your grace virtue. And four, your grace virtue, spiritual maturity motivates your grace giving. Your grace righteousness, spiritual maturity motivates your grace giving. So the corrected translation, and even increases and even enlarges the harvest of your grace righteousness. And even increases, enlarges the harvest of your grace righteousness. Couple of things. One, the harvest of your grace righteousness refers to the greater grace blessings that God sends down that grace pipeline to the spiritually mature believer. You fulfill God's plan, will, and purpose for your life. You fulfilled the mandate of 2 Peter 3:18 to grow up in the grace orientation and knowledge, doctrinal orientation of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. You've attained spiritual maturity. You fulfilled the ultimate objective of having virtue, love, brought to completion in your heart. So the harvest of your grace righteousness refers to those amazing greater grace blessings that God pours out on the spiritually mature believer. Two, the harvest of your grace righteousness includes greater capacity for life. Now you have great capacity for life, great capacity for love, great capacity for happiness. So the harvest of your grace righteousness includes greater capacity. Great capacity for life, great capacity for love, great capacity for happiness. Three, the harvest of your grace righteousness includes the great crowns and rewards that will be given to the winner believer at the judgment seat of Christ following the rapture of the church. The harvest of your grace righteousness includes the great crowns and reward that will be given to the winner believer at the judgment seat of Christ following the rapture, the resurrection of the church, the royal family of God. All right. So the ones who give in grace will be blessed by the grace of God in a very special way. 2 Corinthians 9:6 through 10. Now that brings us to 2 Corinthians 9:11 and 12. The receiver's need, those who receive this grace giving, their needs are met. 2 Corinthians 9, verses 11 and 12. So verse 11. Being enriched in everything to all bountifulness. That's the thundering diction of the King James. Being enriched in everything to all bountifulness. We have the present passive participle of plutizo. Now you know right there, that sounds plutizo. That sounds rich right there. Plutizo. All right, maybe it doesn't. It does for me, but the preposition and plus the dative of pos plus the preposition ace and the accusative of pos. So we have pos used twice, once the dative, one the accusative, one following the preposition and one following the preposition ace, and the accusative singular of hoplotes. All right, well, verse 11 starts out with a preposition, en ponte, prepositional phrase, the dative of pos. We have en ponte. Preposition en, In Panti, P-A-N-T-I. That's the dative of Paz. All right, so one, as an adjective, pas emphasizes the individual members of the class denoted by the noun, and it means every, you translate it every or each. However, point two, when pas is used as a substantive, when I say substantive, now it's used as a noun, and is preceded by the preposition en, as it is in our verse, then it means in every respect, in every way, in everything, in all things. That's what we have here. So when pas is used as a noun, a substantive, and is preceded by the preposition en, which it is in our verse, it means in every respect, in every way, in everything, in all things. And the dative case is the dative of sphere, in the sphere of all things. And then our the verb plutido. Plutizo looks like that in the Greek. P-L-O-U-T-I-Z, long O, plutizo. All right, a couple of things. One, literally, plutizo means to make rich. To make someone rich. It means to become very rich. It means to receive riches, plutizo, to make rich, to make someone rich, to become very rich, to receive riches. Point two, figuratively, and Arnton Gingrich, the Greek lexicon, page 680, tells us that in our verse, plutizo means, first of all, being made rich in every way for every demonstration of generosity. Being made rich in every way for every demonstration of generosity. And secondly, so that you might demonstrate generosity in grace giving. Plutizo. So it means being made rich in every way for every demonstration of generosity. It means so that you might demonstrate generosity in grace giving. Three, it is in the present tense, and the present tense is a customary present. And that teaches that the spiritually mature believer habitually demonstrates generosity in grace giving. The present tense is the customary present. The spiritually mature believer habitually demonstrates generosity in grace giving. Four, it's in the passive voice. And the passive voice, the spiritually mature believer receives the action of being enriched by God. The multiplication of money from the grace of God for grace giving. The passive voice, the subject receives the action of the verb. The spiritually mature believer receives the action of being plutizoed, enriched by God, the multiplication of money for grace giving. And the participle is the independent or absolute participle. It stands alone as the only verb in a clause and therefore must be translated as though it were in the indicative. So this says, in everything you are made rich by God for generosity in grace giving. In everything, you are made rich by God for generosity in grace giving. And then we have the preposition ace. Preposition ace looks like this. E-I-S. Well, it looks the same in the Greek and in the English. Ace is used to indicate the goal, and it may be correctly translated for, or for the purpose of, or so that you can manifest. For the purpose of, so that you can manifest. And then what are you going to be manifesting? Pasan haplotetai. Yeah, see there you go. And haplotes is generosity, and this is all generosity in grace giving. So, in everything, you are made rich by God for all generosity in grace giving. This is the spiritually mature believer. The believer that's grown up in the grace and knowledge of Christ, attained spiritual maturity, fulfilled the ultimate objective of virtue, love brought to completion in your heart, which means personal love for God the Father, impersonal love for all mankind, occupation with Jesus Christ. And the other side of the coin of occupation with Christ is sharing the happiness of God. So in everything, you are made rich by God for all generosity and grace giving, which causes through us thanksgiving to God. And this is hostis plus the present middle indicative of katergazomai plus the preposition dia with the genitive plural of the personal pronoun ego plus the accusative singular of eucharistia and the dative singular of theos with the definite article. Hostis, and it just says hostess, it doesn't say with the mostess. H-O-S-T-I-S. Hostess. Hostess, it means which. And then we have dia plus the genitive of the personal pronoun ego. Dia plus ego. Dia plus the genitive means through or by means of, ego, in the plural, us, through us. And then we have the verb kat ergazomai. Looks like this in the Greek. That's K-A-T-E-R-G-A-Z-O-M-A-I. Kat ergazomai. All right. First of all, one, literally, kat ergazomai means to achieve, to accomplish, to do something. To achieve, to accomplish, to do something. Two, kat ergazomai is something on the inside working its way out on the outside. Kat ergazomai is something on the inside working its way out to the outside. Three, virtue love brought to completion in your heart. The ultimate objective of the spiritual life. This is the ultimate objective where God wants all of us to reach that point of spiritual maturity when we have virtue love, personal love for God the Father, who and what He is, His essence, His plan, His will, His purposes, impersonal love for all mankind, and occupation with Jesus Christ. When Jesus Christ makes Himself at home in your heart and you enjoy Him moment by moment, day by day, and share His happiness. So, virtue, point three, virtue love brought to completion in your heart works its way out in generous grace giving and generous grace-giving brings about thankfulness to God. Virtue love brought to completion in your heart works its way out in generous grace-giving. And generous grace-giving brings about thankfulness to God. 4. So kader gadzamai means to create, to bring about, to produce. And what is it creating, bringing about, and producing? El Karastia. El Karastia. E-U-C-H-A-R-I-S-T-I-A. El Karastia. Now, this is a compound word. There's El, or you. That's the Greek word good. And there is charis, and that's the Greek word grace. So, literally, this means good grace. One, El Karastia is thankfulness. Thankfulness to God. It's gratitude to God. Thankfulness to God, gratitude to God. 2, El Karastia is the rendering of thanks. Thanksgiving to our God for His amazing grace blessings to us. His fantastic plan that sends down all those fantastic grace blessings down the grace pipeline. And as you grow up in the grace and knowledge of Christ, you develop capacity to love God. Love Him for who and what He is. Love His essence. Love His plan. Love His will. So El Karastia, the rendering of thanks or thanksgiving. The dative plurals, the dative singular of theos. Theos is God. The thanksgiving is rendered to God. This is thanksgiving given to God in prayer. Thanksgiving given to God in prayer. So, one, generosity of mental attitude results in generosity of grace giving. Generosity of mental attitude results in generosity of grace giving. Two, your virtue love brought to completion in your soul manifests itself in generous grace giving. Your virtue love brought to completion in your soul manifests itself in generous grace giving. And because of it, there is thanksgiving to God in prayer. Your virtue love brought to completion in your soul manifests itself in generous grace giving. And because of it, there is thanksgiving to God in prayer. 3. Those who are the beneficiaries of this grace giving are thankful to God. Those who are the beneficiaries of this grace giving are thankful to God. 4. Dia plus the genitive plural of ego is through us. Through us includes the Apostle Paul. Paul has received money from these people, and Paul is thankful to God. Paul has received money from the Macedonians in Philippi and Thessalonica, and they provided for him so that he could take the grace gospel all over the Roman Empire. And the Apostle Paul had a fantastic prayer life. And he was constantly giving thanksgiving to God for this grace giving he received. So through us includes the Apostle Paul. Paul has received money from these people, and Paul is thankful to God. 5, the Jerusalem saints will eventually receive this money, and they will thank God for the money. The Jerusalem saints will eventually receive this money, and they will thank God for the money. Six, the Corinthian believers who are offering this wonderful grace giving will be greatly enriched by God, and the Jerusalem saints will be greatly thankful to God. The Corinthian believers will be greatly enriched by God for their as a result of their grace giving, and the Jerusalem saints will be greatly thankful to God in prayer. So verse 11. In everything, you are made rich by God for all generosity in grace giving, which through us is producing thanksgiving to God. All right. We'll take it up here in verse 12 next week with our heads bowed. Father, we thank you, sir, for your amazing grace. May God the Holy Spirit challenge each one of us that these principles become a source of blessing and happiness in our lives. We pray this in Jesus Christ's name. Amen.